Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. Hang on to your hat and enjoy the ride, because you're about to get some powerful insights and practical hacks that will take your daily life to the next level. And now, here are your hosts, Rick, Frank, and Peter.
Welcome to the Road Ahead Cafe. And today we're going to be talking about behind the words, and we picked the quote, "Change your thoughts, change your life," by Dr. Wayne Dyer, one of my favorites. Peter, what do you think about this quote?
Thank you, Rick. So we're back, like a bad habit, or like a good habit, hopefully. Anyway, it's a habit we don't want you to drop. You just keep watching and listening to us as much as you can. And in this episode, we're looking at behind the words with that famous platitude of Wayne Dyer's, change your thoughts, change your life. So what would you answer if somebody asks you, how's life going? You'd probably tell them two things, what you're doing now, what's happening in your life right now. But imagine, if you will, a world in which Rick and Frank have posed that very question to me. And as I relate to them what I am doing right now and what's happening in my life right now, they react a little bit like this. Rick says, wowzers, Peter, you're meeting with the head of a major corporation about teaching this company how to use mindful pathfinding. And Frank says, by golly, Peter, which is typical Frank, you finished your new book, The Mindful Pathfinder, and it's already a New York Times bestseller. Yes, my virtual listeners and viewers, you have entered the Twilight Zone. But wait, here comes the plot twist. Despite Rick and Frank's kind words, despite all I have in that other reality accomplished, I am tormented by these thoughts. I should have met with these guys years ago, or I'm not happy. I'm still not happy with the way I wrote my book. The moral of our story, gentle people, is that despite all of the great things going on in his life, that in that reality, Peter could not enjoy them because of his thoughts. And now I return you to the present moment. In this reality, you ask, do you think that your thoughts sometimes hold you back from a more fulfilling life? Does it seem that your brain sometimes seems like a secret saboteur or an inner critic who torments you with self-doubt? Well, if so, do not despair. The boys are back in town, and we're not from the government, so we may actually be able to help you. Back to you, Rick.
Good stuff, Peter. Well, I can see we're going to have, like, you know, our faces are going to be sore from today. Good stuff. Frank, what do you think? You want to add to that?
Be the change you wish to see in the world. Mahatma Gandhi said that, at least it's a quote that's related to him. And if people ask me, I have to think different, etc., most of the time, they make a problem enormously big, and they say, well, I have to change. And for example, I'm not in love with my wife anymore, or whatever. I want to have, I want to change my job and that kind of, but I think it is difficult because of the corona, etc., and the COVID. It gets bigger, bigger, and bigger. So those questions, when I relate to my clients in my own business, Frankwise, they are always enlarging it, making it too big. So number one, when you have that kind of questions, make it smaller. So ask yourself, for example, what do you like about your job? What makes it fun to go there? Of course, there will be always things that you like to change or whatever. But even when I say this is already a thought. So when I say to myself, there will be always things that won't be up to my standards, by only pronouncing this and saying this, I create already a world where dysfunction and unhappiness is already created. It's a kind of road ahead. I will stumble over it. Well, Frank, are you such an optimist that you always think happiness is there? Well, the interesting thing is, last time we talked about flow. When you look closely at flow, we said it has to do with your skill sets, your talent, skill set, and your challenge. So when your challenge and skill set is balanced, you're in flow. Think about your thoughts. what does that mean if those thoughts would be balanced? Because what I just said is a way to perceive yourself and perceive the world.
Yeah.
Where can I balance myself?
That's it.
Don't make it bigger. Keep it small.
Very nice.
Good stuff. Wow. You guys are dropping mics today. So I think, you know, when we introduced this topic to each other and I was thinking about this, I was remembering when I first read the book, and Wayne Dyer was like one of my favorites, like my all-time best mentor. So this is personally very close to me. And I remember listening to the Audible version of it and hearing Wayne read the Tao Te Ching and listening to those verses and just really kind of getting my own mindset and my own path to self-development was based on mindset change. And I was definitely my own worst enemy. My thoughts were the things that were, you know, keeping me where I was. So I remember going to a Chinese restaurant, got to be in the mid 90s. And I got on the fortune, change your thoughts and you'll change your life. And I took that, you know, and it was probably right around when the book came out. And I was like, oh my God, look at this. I took it home. We were living in our previous home in Valhalla at the time. I taped it on the kitchen window frame. And every day I would look at that. And I would, you know, it became a mantra to me. And then I actually brought it to this new house in 2003 and taped it on the kitchen windowsill. And only when we repainted the kitchen did I take it off. But I still have it. And I remember, you know, how much that meant to me and how simple it was. But sometimes these kind of things do have to be the simplest type of thing. So, you know, for me, it was all about my own attitude and my own mindset. And that's kind of what I've made my life purpose. And almost all the work I do is around your thoughts. And Peter, you want to elaborate on this topic a little bit?
Not after that, Rick. It was profound. I think we should end the entire thing right now. But since they're here and we have some time, let me give you a little bit about some of my thoughts on thoughts and my brain. So research does suggest that one of the most powerful strategies, one of them, for life change is to self-distance from your thoughts. It makes it easier for you to deal with them. So what I do is I attribute my thoughts to my brain and I interact with my brain as if it were a separate person. Surprisingly, this behavior has not resulted in my needing to wear a white jacket with extra long sleeves and sit in a room with a lot of padding. So I refer to my brain as my champion because I don't want to think of my brain as my inner critic or my secret saboteur. I want to think of him as more like Dobby, Harry Potter's house elf in the movie, you know, very friendly in that. And I call my brain Milo. He means well. He's loyal. He's on my side. He's super overprotected and he is very misguided at times. And Milo, my brain, is not a fan of change. He tells me, oh, sure, life's a bit bumpy right now, but I'm used to it. It's comfortable, even when it's uncomfortable, because it's predictable. My champion asks himself, do I really want to bust my behind trying to change my thoughts for the promise of a better life? First of all, it sounds like a lot of work. And second of all, what if I fail? I mean, right now, there's always the possibility that things could get better by changing my thoughts. It's like having a lottery ticket. Before you check if you have the winning number, you could be a millionaire. But once you go ahead and actually check, if you didn't win, that possibility is gone forever, or at least until you buy another ticket. So my brain, Milo, figures if he tries to change his thoughts and fails, then he's flushed that one little ray of hope down the toilet. So over the years, you know, I buy a book or I'd sign up for a course that promised me this is all you need. This one thing is missing, the secret behind everything. If you just follow this one technique or practice, it will change your life forever. So I'd go out, I'd buy the book, I'd take the course. Spoiler alert, my life didn't change that much. I mean, sometimes I'd feel right after it, wow, everything's changed. But I kept looking for the next book. I kept looking for the next course. Then to add insult to injury, a year after I'd read that book, the Ultimate Happiness book or something, the guy who wrote that book or the girl who wrote that book would come out with a brand new book. No. This is the Ultimate Happiness book. And I'm like, well, so what if someone bought the other book? That wasn't so good, you know? So that was kind of always a downer. Like, I brought the wrong book. I should have waited. So it's not really the case, not fully. The reason the other book with the perfect technique didn't work for you, okay? The book you read that you thought was good didn't quite work. And the reason they're selling a different technique now, I'm going to tell you, but lean in closer because I don't want everyone to hear this, okay? There is no one-size-fits-all technique. And you can't learn this stuff from just reading a book or just taking a course. You need to road test it for yourself. It's like when I got my Hyundai Santa Fe. Everybody got a Hyundai Santa Fe, but each of us had to adjust the car, the seat, the mirrors and everything to suit ourselves. So you need to tweak the technique you're using till it suits you. You need to talk with other people using the same techniques so you can learn from their experiences, get their insights about your experiences. That's why when I developed pathfinding, I decided I don't want to promise anything. It works for me. Maybe it can work for you. No promises. Try it out if you like. And I also didn't want to teach it in like a weekend course or like it's like a one-night stand. Okay, thank you. That's been great. See you later. Have a good life. That's why I started the online Facebook group, the private group, the Pathfinders Conversation, because you need a place where you can go to learn what you're doing and to try it out and to talk to other people having the same ideas. It's like an ongoing conversation. I share what's working for me, how I'm customizing, and you share what's working for you. I remember in 1973, when I was wandering through the library stacks of a really small library in Bell's Corners, which is a suburb of Ottawa, Canada, I came across a book called The Seth Material. And the author wrote that we create our reality by our beliefs, essentially our thoughts, but our beliefs. And if we're not happy with our reality, we only need to change our beliefs. And he stated in doing so, it would allow the inner self more spontaneity in giving us the very impulses that would guide us to fulfillment in life. But the trick is, how do I do that? How do I change those beliefs or thoughts? And it's only taking me over 50 years, because I'm pretty quick, to realize that it's not really me holding on to these thoughts or beliefs, it's my brain. And those beliefs are sort of wired into the neural network there. And I can change them without doing anything more strenuous than just asking Milo to look inwards for inner guidance that's always available to him. And with mindful pathfinding, the key element is being mindful. So that means I don't ask Milo to change anything, to analyze motivation, to substitute good thoughts for bad thoughts, all of which are excellent techniques. Okay. They may work very well for you, but they just didn't work for me. So when I'm blocked or threatened or about to embark on something new, all I do is say, Milo, where's your connection to the flow here? Where is it? And then he stops whatever he's doing, which is usually spinning a story about how horrible life is or now what's going to happen. And he goes and has a look. And that's all he does. So I may, as a result, feel differently or see things differently or get inspired or receive a new insight or get an impulse to take action or even notice that events themselves, exterior events, seem to arrange themselves for me. So that's how I change my thoughts. And that's how I change my life. But now for something completely different, two gentlemen who may actually make some sense with what they have come to share. Back to you, Rick.
Very good, Peter. That was terrific. And thank you, Milo, for allowing Peter to share that with us. Frank, jump in here. Tell us about your thoughts on this. What's your lens look like?
Thanks, Peter. When I grasp it and put it all together, it's when I understand you correctly, it's about becoming also an observer of your thoughts and what's happening in your life. So I found a quote of Henry David Thoreau. He says, go confidently in the direction of your dreams, live the life you have imagined. Two things are there very important: confidence and imagined. The thing is, when you want to change your life, are you confident in the fact that you are able to do that? So you have to have a closer look at yourself. You have to have, what I often do is ask people to go over to a mirror and say, okay, look in the mirror. Who do you see? Who do you think I see? Yeah, I see myself. So yes, that's true. But what else? And then they start to wonder and they say, oh, I have something here. And they start nearly automatically, or I'm getting rather bold, or, women have totally different observations about themselves than you and I can imagine in general. So it's interesting to see when you have a close look at yourself in the mirror that 9 out of 10, they don't say, I see my best friend. Because if you look at yourself in the mirror, you see your best friend. And if you look at yourself in that way, that means that you can be a little bit more easygoing with yourself.
Yeah.
And then it strikes to the three things, which is in Buddhism, I think it's Buddhism, but anyway, it doesn't so much matter. The three things that help you tremendously to move forward in an easygoing way in life: neither judge nor condemn, and not be attached to anything. That makes you feel an inner spaciousness. That's easier said than done. And we, in the future podcast, we will go in depth to different aspects of those three aspects. So neither judge nor condemn, and not being attached to anything, makes that you go confidently in the direction of your dreams and live the life you have imagined and let it unfold.
Beautiful.
Beautiful. Wow, Thoreau, one of my favorites, Frank.
Thoreau and Frank.
One of my favorites. So, you know,
he's a nice guy. Real beautiful things.
He did. So, you know, for me, our thoughts are energy. So listen closely. You know, if you're watching or listening today, I think that one of the things that I benefited most from was this exercise. Take one full day. And when you wake, write your waking thoughts down. In the middle of the day, write down any thoughts you have about work, any thoughts you have about people. And then right before you retire, when you go to bed, write your bedtime thoughts down. And then examine those. So if you're new to this concept of self-awareness and really examining your thoughts, that's a great way. You know, it's much like when you go to a nutritionist and they tell you to write down what you eat every day. What I'm asking you to do is write down what's eating you. So our thoughts are energy. Listen closely. Self-talk. We hear a lot of professionals today say, when they're examining this, would you speak to someone else like that? Think about what you're saying to yourself and how, I think that most of us would agree our own self-talk is way worse than anything that we would say to, you know, even our worst enemy. So think about that. I always used to use this story, not in the same context that I will today, but when I first started coaching and teaching, I visualized one time driving up to like a little shopping center, and I pulled in my car, and there was, coming out of the store, one of my favorite people. As soon as I saw this person, my heart would start to race, and I would get excited. I'm going to jump out of the car and go give her or him a hug. Hey, what's going on? I'm so excited to see you. And so think about that. Now, imagine pulling up to the same shopping center and somebody who comes out is not one of your favorite people. Maybe this is a negative, difficult person in your life. All of a sudden, you start to think, oh, no. I should back up. Did they see me yet? Maybe I can, you know, how do I avoid this situation? So same person driving up to the store, but two completely different ideas.
Yeah.
There's another example. The same person comes out of the store, but two different people see them. So our thoughts really do dictate how we feel. So sometimes seeing people as they can be, even if it's someone who is challenging or difficult for you, can really help remedy that. What are the results? Better energy, better intention, potentially a little easier road for you. Carol, my wife, always says, practice daily positive input. When we started putting things online back in 2012 with the marriage boss business and some of the other things we did, we were trying to figure out how to help people get more on track and build their practices, especially in relationships or if you're raising kids. You've got to try to be, you know, a shining example. What is our thinking saying about us? Yeah. That's a good way to look at it. When I started studying Deepak Chopra, one of the most profound things he said was, if you want to know what a person's life will be 5 years from now, examine their thoughts today. If you want to know what they were thinking 5 years ago, examine what their life looks like today. So again, all based on our thoughts. One of my favorite authors in my networking group, Chaz Wilson, wrote a book, 5 + 1. And in that book, it's about five disciplines. They all start with T. And the first one is all about thinking. It's the first of five vital disciplines. So building the correct mindset, whether it's personally or professionally, can just really profoundly impact everything we do. Think of yourself as a supercomputer and you need programming. So you start out when you get, you know, when you come from the factory, you have your initial software uploaded. But as we know, you've got to upgrade your software sometimes. So that is right here. So hopefully the Road Ahead Cafe will upgrade your software.
There you go.
Peter, back to you. You want to wrap it up for us?
I would just say that what you've been given is three different on-ramps to your road ahead. And the one you choose is the one that you think will work best for you. But I guarantee you, these are all from long, long established and realized wisdom, sources of wisdom. And you can't go wrong no matter which way you go.
Thank you, brother. Frank, how about you?
I just read a quote from the third U.S. president, Thomas Jefferson. He said, honesty is the first chapter in the book of wisdom. So what Rick just said, if you look at your present life, what were your thoughts 5 years ago? And if you look at your present life, how will your life be in 5 years? It's interesting. So if you apply this quote, honesty is the first chapter in your book of wisdom, it's your honesty.
Yeah.
One thing is, I think, a warning. Don't judge yourself about the thoughts of the last 5 years if you're not happy with your current situation. Because the moment you start thinking like that, you're sowing already the seeds to harvest for the next 5 years.
Yeah.
So have a close look, what Peter also said, and Rick, in his own words, observe yourself, go to the mirror, have an honest look in yourself, embrace the friend you're looking, right, you're seeing right now in the mirror, and start to think differently. Thanks for listening.
And good stuff, Frank. Thank you, buddy. You know, I'll close with just saying that, you know, the mind is a very powerful tool and those words are so important. And so, you know, use them wisely. I always tease my sister and tell her that we have a finite amount of words that we can speak in this lifetime. We just never know when it's going to stop. So enjoy the next week. Thanks for joining us today for the Road Ahead Cafe. See you next time.
See you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of the Road Ahead Cafe. Hungry for more? Don't miss out. Follow this channel and be sure to subscribe to our email at theroadaheadcafe.com. Thank you for stopping by. See you next time.